This is going to be a first for me this morning. My printer broke late yesterday when I was going to print out my message so that I could sit, because what I do the evening before I sit, I go over everything in my notes. I underline, I highlight. I must have, is Dwayne here? Armstrong? Okay, Dwayne, yes, I tried to get Dwayne, Dave Buffalino, all the men, Phil Curry, nobody. And finally, I even in my building, I went to two people's apartments seeing if they had, I almost called you, Bob. I mean, I just kept dialing people, anyone have a printer that could bring my notes here? And I talked to Brenda in Boston. And she said, you probably won't know what you're doing with hooking it all up, you know, so I knew not to talk to you. Well, all of a sudden, how big is God? I can't get over God. You know, all the big guys seem to just look down at something, and then they look, and all of a sudden, God mentioned to me, Judy, your iPad. You can move from your computer the notes onto an iPad. So this is my first time, like a big guy. Like, I can't believe it. It's like, how big is God? And that didn't come until, Lauren, what time did I try to call you? And Lauren has a backup. She printed out my notes for me as a backup, but of course I hadn't gone over them because I edit a lot the night before. But I was able to edit on my computer last night, and here it is on my iPad. So thank you, God. All right. The title, Obedience 101, Squeals, Squawks in the Deluxe Combo. Or does God have his way with you? And as I listened to Marty pray just now, I heard him use the word willingly or unwillingly. That's exactly what this is about. Sometimes you're squealing when God says, say this, do this. Yes. And sometimes, balk, 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 no, oh no, God. But the important thing is God's love language. What is God's love language? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And so we want to get to heaven. And when he opens the book with the page with our name on it, line after line after line, Edith obeyed me one more time. You want to see pages of that, and all of you. So we've been looking at four different responses for the past 3 weeks. This is the fourth week, that the Lord may hear from us when he wants us to obey him. So I'm going to review very quickly, because what happens is some of you missed 2 weeks, some have missed three, some have missed one, so I'm going to review very, very quickly. So to express the four responses, the four voices that we have when God requires something of us, I've used my mother as a type of the Lord when she wants me, her teenage daughter, to obey a particular command. And with my mother, if you ask me what I heard her say most of the time in my life, it was the laundry command. Judy, as I'd walk in from school, Judy, at the bottom of the stairs is the laundry. I want you to take the laundry upstairs now. Over and over again, years of needing to hear my mother tell me that. So then to further demonstrate the response that we have when God asks us to do something, I've used myself as a believer, or today we'll see God in the process of capturing me, and then he does succeed in capturing me. Then to even further demonstrate the response, I've chosen a Bible character the past 3 weeks. And so the first week was squealing obedience. And there I was as a teenager, coming home from school, and Mike Hirsch from Far Rockaway, New York, his love letter was going to be on my bed. And so I was thrilled when my mother said, take the laundry upstairs. Easy obedience. I looked like I was the most wonderful daughter. I love you, Mom. I love you too, Judy. What a relationship we had. And then as a Christian, when God called me to help the suffering church in the Soviet Union, the persecuted, get Bibles in, I would travel on a few trips to the Soviet Union. Very dangerous, very scary. And those of you who have read my book, the KGB found out about me, that I was going, and they were with me at the airport, Kennedy Airport, even before the plane. And I had chosen two seats by myself. I was with a friend. I took a friend with me. And Finn Airlines moved me over in the center, and those two agents were with us on the plane the whole way. I don't mean Finn Airline, when we flew to Finland. Anyway, when we got to Finland, in order to make a connection to the Soviet Union, my friend and I knew the KGB is with us. And I went into the restroom on the plane with my friend, and when we came back, I knew exactly what I had in the pocket on the plane, and it had been gone through. And we decided when we got to Finland, let's just get on a plane and go back. But the Lord said, nope, stay. And they were with us the entire time, and I had to get away from them. So my friend was the ploy to keep them busy so I could go and do what God had called me to do. So the whole time, though, from the time he told me to go till I got home, I was squealing. It was not difficult for me. It's what my heart was longing for, to help the suffering church. And then the Bible character I used was Nehemiah. From the time Nehemiah heard about Jerusalem and the wall had been broken down, he wanted to go to Jerusalem. He was a cupbearer to the king, and the king noticed his sadness. And there Nehemiah heard the king say, I want you to go. And he went, and in 52 days, because of Nehemiah and what he did there, the entire wall around Jerusalem was rebuilt in 52 days. And the second week, if you weren't here, we looked at a voice in response to God's agenda, which I called squawking obedience. So as a teenager, my response to my mother, when I walked in from school, as soon as she opened her mouth, I knew what she was going to say. Mom, 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 not today, not today. Because on American Bandstand, that was headquartered in Philadelphia, Marcia Zeben, Flo Victor, and Linda Rosin were going to be allowed by their parents to go down to City Line, to the TV studio, and be on American Bandstand. And maybe they'd get asked to dance. This was like one of the biggest days of my life. The last place I wanted to go. And American Bandstand started at 3:30. And I walked in the door at 3:28, grabbed milk, cookies. And now, no, 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 put that down, take the... I can't miss the beginning of American Bandstand because I would see Flo and Marcia and Linda. Mom, I'll do it. Nope, nope. Balk, 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 balk. But my mother absolutely disciplined me, chastised me, and by the time I got the laundry, my backside was really hurting because we had been dancing around the dining room table, and she had the wooden spoon, and my mother's much shorter than I was. How she ever got me cornered every single time we danced around the dining room table. And if I have told you once, I have told you many times. When I ask you to do, and then I was called sass. Don't sass me. Is there anyone here that ever heard the word that you sassed? I was a sass. And I was also a kvetch. In Yiddish, that means complainer. My mother said, you are the biggest kvetch. But God was able to write down, Judy obeyed me again, because the laundry did get upstairs just the way my mother intended, but it was with squawking. And then as a Christian, I won't go into it, but my in-laws' 50th anniversary, they were in Baltimore, we were in Pensacola, and Jewish people, when there's a big anniversary, we go all out with music and catered food and gowns, I mean, galas. And what we went through, balk, 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 I don't want to go, Bernie, I don't want to go, no, 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 it'll cost us a fortune with these four young children to get to Baltimore, on and on. And just let me say, God made sure that we did something for my in-laws. And then I decided, I know why you're putting us through all this. You're going to bring them to the Lord. You wouldn't have us spend all this money. You wouldn't have us use up our valuable time to do all this. No one's believer, no believers. And I'll be all right because God's going to bring them to the Lord. Went with my in-laws squawking. Squawked the whole time. Oh, I hate this. Came home to Pensacola. Balk, 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 balk. No results. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. My in-laws. But God was able to write down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Judy obeyed me one more time. And then the Bible character, Jonah, which we heard wonderfully presented here at church. He balked from the time God asked him to do something all the way through the fourth chapter. Balk, 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 balk. But the prophet Jonah, God was able to write down. Did he go to Nineveh? Oh, yes, he did. God was able to write down. Jonah obeyed me one more time, though it was through squawking. Then last week, we did the first of the deluxe combos, and we looked at a voice in response to God's agenda, which showed how we may find ourselves going from easy squealing obedience into painful squawking obedience. So it's a combination of squealing and squawking last week. So as a teenager, I shared how I walked in the door. My mother wanted me to take the laundry upstairs. That's exactly where I wanted to go because in the laundry basket was going to be my new shorts outfit from E.J. Corvettes in Philadelphia. And I was going to put it on and then go play. My girlfriend Rhonda Sainer was coming over and we would maybe do double Dutch rope with another girl. I mean, but I'd have my new outfit to show off. And I fell running up the stairs. And my knee was just in bad shape, bleeding. It looked so ugly. It ruined my whole outfit. And then my mother said, by the way, when you're up there, I want you to dust your room, clean up your drawers, and Grandma's on the phone. I want you to get right on the phone. Grandma lived in Baltimore, that grandma. I want you to get on the phone and say hello to Grandma. Bonk, 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 bonk. Rhonda's coming over. Where's my short set? Judy, your short set had a seam that was ripped, and I didn't get to sew it. I was too busy today. What? What? I mean, it was. But did the laundry get taken upstairs? Did I dust my room? Did I fix my drawers? Did I say hi to Grandma? So God was able to write in the Lamb's Book of Life, Judy obeyed me. Or my mother was able to write in her book, Judy obeyed me one more time. And then as a Christian, this one, I had a sister-in-law that I couldn't stand. She drove me crazy. Couldn't stand her. Years. And God said when I came home from Las Vegas, he said, I want you to go over to Rona's and ask her to forgive you for your inadequacies, for maybe gossiping about her sometime. Yes, I'd be glad to, God, because if it meant more peace with God, I love you. Thank you for saving me. Anything you want me to do? You want me to go there? Yes, if it'll give me more of you. So I went over to Rona squealing, and I knew I'd be there like 5 minutes, and I said, I just came over for just one thing. Please forgive me for the way I have thought about you, and I've said some things that haven't been right. And she said, what brought you over here? I said, Jesus. Pardon me, Judy? Jesus. What about Jesus? What do you mean, Jesus? I said, you want to know? She said, yes, and I gave her my testimony. And she said to me, I want what you have. The nerve of you, God. See, I went over there squealing. Yes, I'd be glad. Now it's bawk, 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 bawk. No. Oh, no, God, please. You could have saved my brother, saved my grandparent. Not Rona. The nerve of you. The nerve of Rona. And then she became a believer. Now I was not only with this horrible sister-in-law, with the family, carpools to school, everything. Now we were together for every Bible study, prayer meeting. I was with her spiritual family and real family. Walk, 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 walk. But God was able to write down, Judy obeyed me one more time. And the pill, Ephesians 4:2, is the big pill I needed to swallow regarding my sister-in-law, who is now my sister in the Lord, but also I've used it my whole life, and I've told you it's hanging on my refrigerator, because most of you are in there. We'll get to that. Always be humble and gentle, Judy. Be patient with all these people and harvesters, making allowance for Jerry Black. Bob Johnson is finally here. For each other's faults because of your love. And that is a verse that's on my refrigerator, because it's not just my sister-in-law, but it's all the people we meet. And so, biblical character, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you know how they say, who do you want to meet after you meet Jesus in heaven? I want to meet Ezekiel. I can't get over that man. Phenomenal, phenomenal man. So Ezekiel, when we look at Ezekiel, we were able to look at a continuing person who continued in faith and trust, though his life was really troublesome. Ezekiel had enduring faith, and that's what we want to have. And he started out in his calling with a huge amount of squealing. And we read of Ezekiel sitting among the exiles in Babylon. And after he came back into his body, God put him back into his body. The Bible says he was bewildered, and I'm adding, and overwhelmed with this astounding vision. But as he's sitting there, I'm sure he's squealing like, whoopee, I'm so in awe. I can't get over what I saw. How big is God? I love you, God. Squealing. And then we read that this squealing man wound up writing these words, chapter 3, verse 15 in Ezekiel. I'll read this to you. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv near the Kibar River. And there, where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, deeply distressed. So here we see the squealer. Hallelujah, I love you, God. And it says, deeply distressed. And in Luke, we read that Jesus felt distressed too for a plan that he would be walking out on earth, because it says, I have a baptism to undergo, Jesus said, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Balk, 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 balk. This is so hard. Oh, no. Regarding Ezekiel, why was there a switch from squealing, I love what you've allowed me to see, Father, to squawking, oh no? God said to him, son of man, Ezekiel, I am sending you to the Israelites. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. So what God was saying to Ezekiel, what he says to all of us, obey me. If you love me, you will do as I ask. I don't want a lot from you. I want everything. I'm going to say that again. He would say that to all of us. I don't want a lot from you. I want everything. And Ezekiel is a biblical character that did that. And so God was able to write in the Lamb's Book of Life, Ezekiel obeyed me day after day, every day, 22 years. God was writing, Ezekiel obeyed me again. So we ended last week with considering that everyone in Harvesters were all birds in flight. And so, real quick, is it real quick or real quickly? Thank you, we understand. Okay. English was something I'm real conscious of, but after hearing people over and over on the news and writing in Wall Street Journal, the grammar is just awful. That I'm at the point that now I don't know whether it's real quick or real quickly. Real quick. Okay. So we talked about, look at this room, okay? It just so happens that a hummingbird or a turkey, Bob, I just happened to look over there and, you know, fly into this room. Birds fly in. They know this is not their home. They know where they came from. And they're flying in, and they can't wait to go to the door back there, and they are out of here. And sometimes, so here the bird comes in, and sometimes the bird, as they're in here, wonderful things happen. And so they're flying, they've come in, and they're flying, and they know this is not their home. They know where their home is. And then it could be that things start getting rough, and they can't fly as quickly as they used to. And life gets hard. But to know, all of us birds, this is not our home. And soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. It's almost over. And last week, Janet Paschal sang for us, until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city out there. Until the day God calls us home. And Big Bird, Jesus, if you'll allow me again to use that analogy. Jesus, the biggest bird, bigger than wild turkeys, bigger than eagles, the biggest bird, Big Bird. He said, I know where I came from, he knew, and where I am going. Do you know where you're going? He knew he was going back to his home, back to glory. And then Psalm 90:10 reads, the length of our days. Now see, that's Big Bird. I had to find a picture of Big Bird flying, and there was on the internet, that's Big Bird flying. In Psalm 90:10, the length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Give us strength, God. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. How many of you have had troubles and sorrows? Nobody? For they, the years, quickly pass and we fly away. And so we are birds that fly away. And when has a flying turkey or a hummingbird ever been assured of safety inside this room? And Kenneth Cancer said, when has a Christian ever been assured of this life here? Our faith is in God. Our future lies in his hands. And whatever happens here, we are ultimately safe in him, birds, you birds. We're safe in him. John 16:33 reads, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I don't think I put that on the slides. But you will have trouble in this world. But take heart, I have overcome the world. All right, so that was the review of 3 weeks. So now we are on the fourth response, the fourth voice. I had decided to bless my mom by doing something she had always urged me to do. It was her idea. She wanted me to cook a meal. I was into reading. I just loved to read. I was not interested in the kitchen. I still am not interested in the kitchen. But I love to research and study and read. But my mom wanted me to make a meal. So I had planned it. Every detail. I was going to make a beef stew. So in the freezer, there were beef cubes, brisket, Jewish brisket beef cubes. And I knew they would take like 90 minutes because brisket takes longer to make them tender, the cubes, than any other meat. And so I had pulled the brisket cubes out of the freezer, put them in the back of the refrigerator so my mother wouldn't see they're missing. I knew I was going to make a salad, cut up carrots and cucumbers, and I was going to cut up potatoes for the soup, the beef stew, and I was going to make a Duncan Hines yellow cake with chocolate icing. That's my favorite cake. Every time, Bob knows, and some are in, Armstrongs know, every time we have our care group get together, I'm waiting for someone to make a Duncan Hines yellow. I've been in this group for years. It's always cherry pie, fruit cobblers, German chocolate cake. But I was going to do this for my mother. And so dinner was always at 5. So I was getting home at 3:30. I knew I needed every minute. I'm giving up American Bandstand that day. Rhonda had invited me over to play Monopoly with a couple other friends. No, no, because I'm doing this for my mother. As soon as I walked in the door, my mother says, Judy, mom, Judy, before you do anything else, the laundry is at the bottom of the stairs. Pick it up and put it on. Bawk, 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 bawk. Mom, no, Judy, I don't want to hear a thing. Don't talk back to me. And I said, you are going to be sorry for this. I planned dinner for you, something special. You have wanted me to do this. Today's a good day for me, Mom. No homework tomorrow. It's a good day for me to do this because you wanted me to do it. So I had decided it was a good day for me to do dinner, but for my mom, though it's something she wanted me to do, this was not a good day for her daughter to make dinner. And in John 7, verse 6, therefore Jesus told them, the right time for me has not come. For you, any time is right. My mother had other plans for me, and I began to sass her. Just so you know, as long as I live in this house, read my lips, mother, was my attitude, I will never make a meal, ever. You got that? You know, I saw her backing up to the drawer. I knew she was headed for that infamous wooden spoon, and I did not want to go dancing around the table with my monster mom, Rena, so I stomped to the stairs. I yelled as I grabbed the laundry. I said, I'm trying to be obedient. You keep putting me on a guilt trip, trying to get me to learn to cook. And I climbed the stairs, and I went up, muttering under my breath the whole time. Can't believe that my mother, I'm trying to do what she wants me to do. And my bedroom door was closed. I've got this heavy laundry. The door's never closed, never. Can't believe it. I dropped the laundry down, and I opened up the door. And there I saw, no, not yet. Not yet. Oh, it's because I said the word there. You're right. I should have left the word there because there is in the notes of when he's supposed to put it up. Okay. There on my bed was a black velvet halter top with a rose-colored taffeta skirt with black scrolling, velvet scrolling. Oh, this is gorgeous. I can't believe this. What? What? And I turn around, and there is my little mom with tears in her eyes. Mom, what is this? She said, I couldn't wait till you got home from school. Don't you have a date with Stan Koshel Friday night? And you told me you have nothing to wear. I've been working, my mother was a seamstress, I've been working all day long making this for you so you'd have something to wear. I couldn't wait for you to get upstairs. I began squealing. Then tears came from me. I ran over to my mother. We hugged, and I said, I love you, Mom. You're the best mother in the world. I can't believe this. See, she knew what she had waiting for me, a black velvet halter top. Now you can put it up. And so here I am on the night I was going out. I was 15 years old. Such joy. I went from squawking to tremendous joy. My mother, I looked at her, is the best mother in the world. The best. How many of us have squawked and balked and decided I'm not doing this? And all along, God knows, upstairs is a black velvet halter top with a rose-colored taffeta skirt with black velvet scrolling, just waiting for us. And yet, balk, 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 balk. No. I've got another idea. I've got something else I'm planning today. But my mother was able to write down in the Lamb's Book of Life, in her mental notebook, Judy obeyed again. And that's what my mother was after, that she could keep up disciplining me, training me, that I would. Now, guess who this might be? Okay? This is the craziest story. Here I am Wednesday night working on this message, you know? And I try to find Stan Koshel, who was my first date in my whole life at 15 in Philadelphia. So I stopped working, and it took me time. But I found, and it didn't say Philadelphia, it said Newport News, Virginia. I called the number. There was just an answering, and I just said, this is Judy Zenitz. I don't know if this is the right Stan Koshel, because there's other Stan Koshels, but if you lived in Philadelphia and took me to your fraternity ACA dance when I was 15, can you get back to me? I hung up, and then I'm back to doing this. The phone rings. I won't even tell you how many. I haven't even thought of him. How big is God? It's Stan Koshel. And we talked on the phone and got to know one another. And then he said, do you have that picture of you at 15 when I took you? He didn't remember me. Imagine not remembering me. He didn't. He was very handsome. I remember he was very, very handsome. He lived in South Philly. I lived in Northeast Philly. So when we were dating, we dated for months, and he's in my diary that I loved him. I mean, you know. And then he said, send me the picture of, you know, I didn't tell him what I was using it for. Not yet, you know. Let me see the picture. I sent him the picture. He said, and send me a recent picture. So I sent him a recent picture. And then the next morning I woke up to, he wrote, love it. Just love it, exclamation. And I thought, God, I'm not doing anything. Is this your providence, Marty, the book? Your providence that Harvesters was set up, invited to speak, chose to do a message with Scant. How big is God? How big is God? And so I will tell you next week what is happening. Yeah, I'll save it for next week. I mean, did God, from the time he was born, want him to hear the gospel, this Jewish man? I don't. When I look at him, I can't even, there's nothing about him that looks like anything I would remember. Nothing. It's like, you look so old, you know? So do you, Bob, so stop laughing. Anyway, now, you just saw a picture. Oh, don't put this off yet. Wait a minute. Wait. Okay. So we know that my mom was able to write down, Judy obeyed me one more time. And then just the other night, Wednesday night, God was prodding me, find Stan Koshel. I don't have time. Blah, blah, blah. I don't have time. I've got all this going on and other things going on and so many people to pray for and so much to do. And all. Judy, try to find him. Do you know how hard it is to find somebody? It took time. And I'm believing God wrote down for his purposes. Judy obeyed me Wednesday night. And now here is this Jewish man that needs Jesus. So you just saw a picture of my first date. Now here's my out of reach teenage crush. Okay. My Hollywood teenage idol was this man. God chose him in my life years before we became friends. I recall a number one hit, but had absolutely no interest in the lyrics then. None. But I loved the tune, and Bernie and I, my future husband, we used to jitterbug to this song. So you're going to now see, if God makes a way that it's going to work, Dick Clark introducing Pat Boone.
Here's a man who's reached the number one spot a good many times in his life. Let's greet Mr. Pat Boone.
1958. I didn't care about the words.
Well, now, everybody's going to have a vision of glory. Everybody's going to be singing that story. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Brother, there's a reckoning coming in the morning. Better get ready, God's giving you the warning. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time. Now listen, everybody, God is talking to you. The Lord is the only one to carry you through. You better get ready, God is telling you why. The Lord is coming from his throne on high. Going down the valley, going one by one. We're going to be rewarded for the things we've done. How you going to feel about the things you'll say on that judgment day? Well, 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 everybody's going to have a legion in the glory. Everybody's going to be singing that story. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And the reckoning is coming in the morning. Better get ready, cause I'm giving you the warning. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time up there. Now you get your Holy Bible in the back of the book. The book of Revelation is the place you look. If you understand it and you can, if you try, the Lord is coming from his throne on high. The reading of the Bible was the things he said. He said he's coming back again to raise the dead. Are you going to be among the chosen few? Or will you make it? Well, the world of everybody's going to have religion and glory. Everybody's going to be singing that story. Everybody's going to have a wonderful time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah.
Turn it off now.
Yeah.
Sit down,
Dick. I think this gal's gonna faint if you get any closer. Pat, how
can you stop it?
It's pretty good, dude.
You don't mind if I leave?
Okay. All right. Now, we used to jitter. How many of you jitterbucked to that song? I mean, that was one of his number one hits out of multitudes. And the words, I didn't care. At that time, they meant nothing to me. And notice in that year, Pat Boone is not doing any gyrations physically. Do you notice? Years ago, just snapping his finger, nothing sexy about the way he's presenting it. Notice that everyone that came to hear him is dressed in coats and ties, other than one guy that's obviously Italian, that handsome guy, you know. But everybody wore jackets. I mean, it was a whole nother world, but nothing inappropriate about how he presented the song. And so, now, of course, the words to that song mean a great deal to me. So let me bring in now the fourth voice, the fourth response we may give to God when he requires something of us. We're into the deluxe combo. We just did My Mom with the black velvet halter top. Now we're coming into Now That I'm Grown. When Bernie said to me, Judy, we're going to Las Vegas, I told Jimmy and Rosie Katziff from Annapolis, Bernie's roommate from college, that we would go to Las Vegas with them. Bernie, balk, 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 what? You told them? And you never asked me if I wanted to go, and this was not like Bernie. Bernie never would have told someone, yeah, we'll go with you without checking with me, but how big is God? Balk, 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 balk. He said, Judy, I gave them my word that we would go. It's Sin City, Bernie. Balk, 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 balk. And I squawked in rebellion because I looked at Las Vegas as evil, but God was seeing it as good. For what reason did I see it as bad? Well, I was trying to be a better mother, a better friend, a better wife, you know. And so God was non-existent in my life, non-existent. I was deep into, for several years, the cults and the occult. Had the Edgar Cayce cult in my home, had went for seances, psychics, I had my own astrologer, you name it. I was into spiritism because I couldn't find in anything down here anything that would help me on the inside. Though outwardly, you would have thought Judy has no needs, but inside, corruption and evil, and I knew it. So I was really unhappy with Bernie, but we had to go to Las Vegas. We got to Caesar's Palace. Bernie sits me down. Most of you know my story, so this is really going to be short. It is, the whole thing's in my book, Wonder. But anyway, we get to Las Vegas. Bernie hands me a brochure to see who he thinks we should see in Las Vegas. He and Rosie and Jimmy went to register at the desk, and I said to Bernie, I'm not seeing anyone. I'm just staying in my room. I don't want to see. I mean, balk, 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 balk. I don't want to be here. I'm upset that you brought me here. And I look at the brochure, the last name on the list, Pat Boone. I had just read his book a few nights before. This was like November 2nd or 3rd, I read his book October 28th. And what are the chances that this man, whose book caused me to fall on my knees and cry out to Jesus, though I knew nothing, I didn't know virgin birth, I didn't know Jesus was born, nothing, just the name, Pat Boone said, Jesus changed his life. And I had tried everything else and nothing was changing. I screamed out and then I said to God, when I stood up, wiping my eyes, I said, God, I want to write to Pat Boone. I don't know where he lives. Does he live in Hollywood? He's a movie star, a singer. Does he live in New York? If you could maybe somehow, how big is God? In 15 years of being in Las Vegas, Pat Boone was booked at the Fremont Hotel the same week every year. That year, his agent changed to the week that the Reimers were there. How, this is your God. Be encouraged. You have a different testimony, a different life, but this is your God. And so Bernie came over. I read all the names. When I said Pat Boone, they didn't care. And then Bernie said, "You read a book by him, didn't you? Just read a book." I said, "I just finished it." He said, "I want you to call Pat Boone." This is not, you'd have to, you'll meet Bernie one day. Bernie is not the type to insist and push. "I want you to call Pat Boone." "Why should I call Pat Boone?" "Because you read his book." Bernie, thousands and thousands of people have read his book. And then Jimmy and Rosie, who are bashful people, said, "I dare you. You're a chicken. Call Pat Boone." I was so upset with Bernie embarrassing me in front of my friends that when we got to the room, I was going to tell him, "How dare you push me and try to get me to do something." And Bernie said, "We're not going to the room until you call." They pushed me over to a payphone in Caesar's Palace on the wall, dialed Fremont Hotel. Bernie handed me the phone. "Operator, is Pat Boone there?" "No, he's not in. Would you ask him to call Judy Reamer at Caesar's Palace between 5 and 6:30. I gave him an hour and a half to call. How big is God? At 6 o'clock, I'm in my room getting ready for dinner. I'm in the bathroom fixing my hair. And Bernie says, "Judy, it's Pat Boone on the phone." "Oh, sure. I think it's Jimmy, you know, going to sing 8 bars of April Love." And I said, "That's not funny." I pick up the phone. "Hi, Judy. This is Pat Boone." All I could say was, "I'm a Jewish girl from Baltimore who just read your book, and I just want to thank you," and wanted to hang up. What am I going to say to Pat Boone? He said, "Please come see me tonight and bring your husband." I didn't want Bernie there because suppose Pat Boone would mention God or mention Jesus or the Bible. And I said, pardon me, I said, okay. And so that night we went to his show. Guess what song he sang? He sang "Wonderful Time Up There." He sang it years later with all the other songs. He sang that one. And Bernie and I wound up in his dressing room for 4.5 hours as he presented from the Old Testament, because I wouldn't let him read to me from the New. "I'm Jewish," I said. He said, "Let me take you into your Jewish scriptures." How big is God that Pat Boone knew his Bible so well? The only person, I wouldn't even listen to Billy Graham. Nobody. Who would I listen to? How big is God with us? My Hollywood teenage idol is the only person that I would listen to talk to me. God had already gone before all those years, causing me to just want to meet him, know him. And there he was giving me the gospel. And so this is the next slide is what I, this is the night that I was in Pat Boone's dressing room. And I went from squawking, and that's what Pat looked like in his dressing room. And look at my bird's nest hairdo. Bernie never could run his fingers through my hair. Girls, how many of you remember wearing your hair like you? It was called teasing your hair. Remember, we'd backcomb it and tease it. And so this is the two of us that night. And Jesus said, "I tell you, there is rejoicing, squealing, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And so that is from that night. Now look what God did with Bernie. Okay, in the dressing room, God bandaged Bernie's mouth. Because if Bernie the attorney, my husband, who knew how to argue and debate, would have started saying, I love Bernie, I'd say, "Thank you, Pat," and we would have been out of there. But God taped Bernie Reamer's mouth, and if you ask him in heaven when you see him, "Why didn't you say anything in 4.5 hours? This is against everything that you were raised as an Orthodox Jewish boy." Bernie would say, "I couldn't speak. I don't know why." Ezekiel, did God cause him to not be able? What about John the Baptist's father? Is it Zechariah? What is his name? I get mixed up. Anyway, John the Baptist, he couldn't speak. God can shut mouths. God can open mouths. So God had taped his mouth and written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Judy obeyed me. And that was going to be the first time he ever wrote it down, because now I was a believer. I'm asked a lot if Pat Boone and I are still in touch. Yes, we are. We still love to talk and catch up and laugh, and he's really funny. He's really funny. And I've been to his home a few times, and you're going to watch a minute and a half video trailer from a meeting Pat and I did in Colorado. I am interviewing Pat concerning the Lord using him in my life, and then this is just a trailer. And then I had asked him to give his testimony at this church and also tell how he became the biggest worldwide entertainer in the, pardon me, in the world, second to Elvis Presley. So you're going to see a trailer of me interviewing Pat. Now, the cameraman didn't bring the right camera, so it's a little bit blurry, but let's see if we can see this. Stop dancing, gonna have a wonderful time up there. Glory, hallelujah. The Bible says his voice is terrible, but it means it's terribly majestic, colossal, huge, fearsome. The greatest Jewish expression is, could be. He says, I dare you to call Pat Boone. I said, what is wrong with the three of you? Is this marriage going to
end? Yeah, well, this is how we do it.
Judy. It's Pat Boone. Do you want to say something?
No,
good. Okay, what are the chances that you call anyone back other than your family and your friends?
Well, no chance.
No chance.
No chance.
How big is God? How big is God? When you saw that name, something must have leaped.
And I don't remember to now why I called you, because I didn't know who you were.
No.
And, you know, people leave messages, people I
fans
don't know.
Fans try to reach you,
yeah.
Churches try to reach you.
And why I called you, I don't know. I now know.
Now we know in hindsight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I picked up the phone. I thought it was Jimmy calling from the other room and would sing 8 bars of April Love or something. But I know your voice because you were my Hollywood teenage idol. And I said, hello, and you said, hi, Judy, this is, say, you know how you do it, this is?
This is Pat Boone.
Right. Amazing. Stop dancing, you'll do it. Okay, you can turn that off now. Time up there. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Bible says. Okay. And I cried as I was working on this message. I cried. I still cannot get over. Can you get over God in your lives? Can you get over how he engineered and designed the people in your life, the timing in your life, where you were? We all have different stories. So we encourage one another, saying, God got me, found me. And so I squealed to the whole world a few times on the 700 Club. Now, that was maybe a year after I came back from Las Vegas. I think they had me on 3 times in 1 year because I was just squealing. I couldn't get over God. And so okay, bear with me. I can see where, okay. And so I still am squealing from the time I was on 700 Club, you know, and then all the places I've been and coming to Harvesters. I still can't get over. In fact, Dee, you sent a Christmas card, you and Don did, and you wrote a little note to me, and you said something about, and it's because of God. You said, your joy is contagious. I can't help it. I am crazy about Jesus. I can't get over, and I'm crazy about all of you because you are my new family. I don't have family other than my sister-in-law, and then in my book I tell how my 86-year-old mother came to the Lord. So now I want to tell of a Bible character who I think experienced the deepest squawking and groaning but wound up with the greatest joy in all the Bible. And here's Mary Magdalene. Imagine the violent activity surging through her mentally, emotionally, physically, because she was ruled by seven demons. And on entering her life, Jesus said to her, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." The Lord healed, delivered, accepted, comforted, strengthened, taught, guided, and I was trying to think of more words, and gave Mary a new identity, significance, and value. Then Jesus was crucified. This was unconscionable to Mary. And Mary is now distressed, distraught, downtrodden, depressed, and probably suicidal. Her groaning, her squawking is constant, hour after hour. She never, this is Judy thinking of what life must be like. She never wanted to get out of bed after the crucifixion. She couldn't eat. She cried till she couldn't cry any longer. Her life, for all intents and purposes, was over. It was over. Mark 16:1 reads, "When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and other women bought spices in order to anoint Jesus' body." Mary went out of an act of love, of respect and devotion, probably meant to reduce the stench of Jesus' decomposing body. She said that she would do it. She obeyed, though she didn't want to ever leave her bed. She's now weak. She hasn't eaten in 3 days. She is at the bottom. Squawk, 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 squawk. This is too painful. I can't take this in. But love often prompts people to do what, from a practical point of view, is useless or senseless or meaningless. So when Mary and the other women got to the tomb, it got worse. Balk, 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 balk. Mary couldn't believe it. The stone was rolled away. Jesus was not there. There was this angel, big angel. And Mary, when she saw the angel, was dumbfounded, frightened. This is awful. His body is gone. Her obedience, keeping her word to the other women that she would come and help fix the body, in going to the tomb has led her to increased devastation. Even though the angel said, "He is risen, go tell Peter and his disciples," she did not comprehend. She didn't have a clue as to what was going on. And she left the tomb, balk, 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 trembling, bewildered, crying. She told the men what the angel said, and Mary returned to the tomb. And when she returned to the tomb, there was a black velvet halter top and a rose-colored taffeta skirt with black velvet scrolling. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" And she turned around and cried out. Now look at the face, how her face must have looked right when she realized it was Jesus. She's ready to cry again, but out of joy, out of happiness, she turned around toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So Mary felt joy unspeakable and full of glory. Is there anyone else you can think of in the Bible who experienced the joy or the depth of sorrow and pain than Mary Magdalene? And we are almost finished. The squawks, the fear, the bewilderment changed to joy of the highest order. She wanted to go squeal it, to go shout from the top of the highest mountain. She probably felt like, find me Mount Everest. I want to tell everybody my Savior is alive. This is how I felt after coming home from Pat Boone in Las Vegas. I wanted to tell the world. Anytime I was asked to speak, radio, TV, whatever, Jesus, the Messiah, he's alive. He already came. He's coming back. So through hindsight, how glad Mary was that she went to the tomb. See, she could have decided, I'm not going. I'm not following what I know would be the right thing to do because I said I would do it. I'm too tired. I'm going to faint. I can't go. But she went. And she would have missed Jesus had she told the others, I'm staying in bed. Excuse me, but I'm refusing to go with you. She would have missed the black velvet halter top with the rose-colored taffeta skirt with black velvet scrolling. So God wrote down in the Lamb's Book of Life, Mary obeyed me once again. So that ends the four voices. We've done squealing obedience, squawking obedience. Last week was from squealing to squawking. And the final week is going from squawking, pain, I don't want to, this is awful, to the highest squealing that could be had. So here's the preview, though I haven't worked on it yet, here's the preview for next week. I know I'm going to cover those three pictures. So I will see you next week, and maybe at lunch today, some of you can talk about what you heard and share your own story or think about your own story. The times that you squawked the whole way, but you did it anyway. The times that it was easy to obey, so that was easy. The times that you went from squealing to squawking, but you're glad that you did it so that you could say to God, I love you, so I am doing it even though my flesh is unwilling, as Marty prayed. And then today was the final response to God asking us something, and that was going from, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, I'm in such pain emotionally, mentally, physically, I can barely walk, Mary said, I'm going to fall, I'll need someone to help me go to the tomb, balk, balk, balk. And then there's, and you know what, and I end with this, if you're a Bible reader, all of a sudden things will come off the page that you think, God, when did you put that in here? I think it's either Luke 34:24 or Luke 24:34. Okay. It says, you'll have to read it, but not only did Jesus meet with Mary by herself after he had risen, the Bible says, Simon Peter. It's the end of that chapter. I don't know whether it's 34, 24, 24, 30. And here's this little line that says, and he appeared to Simon Peter also. Simon. Now picture Simon. Simon hated himself, crying, weeping because he had denied Jesus three times. And then he left him. He just left him. Do you know the condemnation? The bitterness that he must have felt about himself, like he's the worst in the whole world. For Jesus, on the way out of the tomb, walking, talked alone to Simon Peter. Do you know what Simon Peter must have gone from this pain, walking, oh, awful, what have I done, what have I done? And there's Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus hugging Peter, telling him, it's okay, you're human, you're forgiven. And that from that time on, we read what Simon Peter was in the church. But I wonder if it's because Jesus chose to be alone with Simon Peter. I never knew that. Did all of you realize that? It wasn't just Mary, maybe first Mary, then Simon Peter. And like Michael Kona said, we don't know, maybe he stopped and talked to, you know, Matthew. We don't know. But to know that Simon Peter from that time on was okay. He was okay. He was forgiven. He was loved. He was accepted. The squealing that Simon Peter, and then he must, I imagine whatever Jesus said to him, no wonder Simon Peter could be like he was throughout the rest of the Bible. In the name of Jesus, be blessed, and I will see you in church, and I will see you for one more week. Amen.